hearing. Welcome to all of you members present here and in the virtual, the public protector and your team, led by Advocate Mpofu, evidence leaders, Advocate Bauer and Advocate Mayosi, South Africans, members of the public who are interacting with us. I certainly know that you tuned in 408 every moment of our hearings. Welcome. The media, the entire support staff, and as well as welcoming back our special guests who are with us for the second day. I won't go through your names today. Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Stello Samuel. Welcome back, Vala.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We're going to start, and the day will be led, or a few hours will be led by Advocate Mpofu. But before I go to Advocate Mpofu, I am going to recognize Ms. Fatima Ibrahim, just to indicate to you members that as a chair, I would have received the written questions back from the public protector. And I've asked the committee secretary to immediately email and have copies printed for those of you who are here. But we've also agreed that as you receive those questions, we're going to ask the public protector to confirm those questions, Advocate Mpofu. Confirm the answers. Thank you, Bauer, to confirm those answers. And I'm going to ask Ms. Fatima Ibrahim to lead us in that.
Good morning, members. Thank you, Chair. Just for the record, these were the questions that followed the committee meeting on 15th of July, following Mr. Van Lochenberg's evidence. Chair, on 16th of July, we addressed correspondence to the PP, wherein we included all the questions as posed, and the PP then provided those written answers under cover of a letter dated 22 July. However, the responses were not in the form of a sworn statement as required by Directive 5.9. And furthermore, the letter also requested that the responses be kept confidential at that time. The reason proffered for same was that they should be kept confidential until such time as the objections in relation to the fairness of the process as articulated in the letter of 18th of July had been dealt with. By the time we received the response, Chair, members will recall that we had already prepared the letter of response. I discussed some of those preliminary responses in the meeting last week, Wednesday, and indeed that letter was already sent. We thus replied to the request saying that we are of the view that there is no legal basis to keep those answers confidential, and the Chair is in fact duty bound to share that information with the committee. Chair, in the absence of that having been done in the form of a sworn statement, I'm now going to request that the PP kindly confirm for us that the written responses as submitted on the 22nd of July, a copy of which I think has been handed out to all members and to the PP's team, is in fact her sworn response. And just to remind the PP that she is still under oath in terms of the Powers Act. So if we can please just get that confirmation, and then we'll add it to the record and to the bundle of evidence. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Ibrahim. Mkwebane?
Thank you, Chairperson. I confirm under oath that the responses indeed were compiled by me and my legal team.
Thank you, Chair. That's in order. We'll now add it to the bundle. Thank you.
Thank you, Advocate Mkwebane, and thank you, Ms. Fatima Ibrahim. With that done, I'm now going to invite Advocate Mpofu to start the cross-examination, and we will examine his time at 3 o'clock. Thank you. Go ahead, Advocate Mpofu.
Thank you, Chairperson. I can assure you that it's unlikely that we will finish at that time, but there's no harm in revising the program then. Can I ask for an indulgence, Chair, from you? Just to, when we come to tea time, if you can just make it a relatively longish, maybe more than 15 minutes. There's just a document that I left in my hotel. So I'll have to go and quickly get it. Maybe
we'll consider that. Thank you.
I'm nearby, so
no problem.
20 minutes. Or actually, you can just make it your normal time. But if I come back late, don't hold it against me. Thank you.
No problem. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Mr. Samuel.
Good morning, Counsel. And Pili Limkuru.
So that the last receiver song and the matter goes. Okay, I was just warming up the witness. So, greetings. I'm going to do class. It took a second home.
Oh, we paid.
Oh, yeah. I guess you'll be able to tell. And that's the loan for old Tanja by Gumni. It took a second.
You did ask for extra minutes, you know, so please don't get to those minutes.
I knew you were going to do that. No, thanks. Mr. Samuel, I'm going to try. Did you get your medication and everything?
Yes, I got it.
Better not.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you very much. All right, please, if you feel uncomfortable at any stage, just indicate. And I'm sure the chair will do whatever needs to be done.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll try and make this easy as possible by telling you up front, which I've never done in my entire life, but telling you up front what theories and conclusions I'm going to try and persuade the committee to reach about your evidence. And if you agree with them now, then we'll take 10 minutes and then we'll go to call the next witness. I'm going to argue that you have no personal knowledge of all the information that you alleged in your affidavit. And that is mostly information that has been fed to you by the evidence leaders. Do you agree?
I will agree with you in part, but
okay.
Not entirely.
Not entirely.
I've stated that in my affidavit.
Yes, no, that's fine. In part is good enough for now. I'll also argue that you have not yourself familiarized yourself with the court decisions that you discuss in your affidavit, but that is just a way of introducing those court decisions into evidence via you. It could have been anybody sitting there. All you have to say is yes, yes, yes. Is paragraph this of this court saying this? Yes, yes. But then anymore, I could do that. In other words, there's nothing peculiar about you regarding those court decisions. You don't have a special knowledge of them, maybe. Let me put it that way. Am I right?
That is correct.
Thank you. Okay. Well, let's look at out about an hour, sir. Then I'm also argue that both you and the evidence leaders then in that endeavor have given us a skewed and unbalanced view of the public protector's achievements by not by only highlighting the negative but not the positives. Will you agree partly, entirely, or not at all?
I do not agree. Can I qualify?
Yes.
It's in my evidence. I've stated that my laptop was confiscated and that in preparing my affidavit, I relied solely on, partly on my own recollection and also on the emails that were retrieved by the evidence leaders.
Yeah.
But some of which I did not get, as well as the some of the evidence, some of the records that would have been on my laptop. And to that extent, I have had to reconstruct based on memory and the available information.
Yeah.
So I was not in any way persuaded to say whatever I said by the evidence leaders.
Yes. No, that's fine. I think we are misunderstanding each other. That answer, I accept for now, provisionally. But that's an answer to my previous question, not this one. That explains why you said you partly agree with me when I said some of the information came from there. That's fine. We'll come to that. I'm putting a different proposition. And for now, I just want to know if you agree or not so that I can cut out or put back that hour. I'm saying you and the evidence leaders, after all that you've explained, have given the committee a skewed and unbalanced view of the public protector's performance in that you concentrate only on the negative or what you perceive to be the negative, but not the positives. And that even goes to the court judgments. Where there are court judgments that are in her favor, you don't highlight them, neither do they.
I don't agree. I did concede that there were some positives that Advocate Mkhwebane brought in and that I agreed with. And so it's not entirely true that I only concentrated on the negatives. It might be that perhaps the negatives are more than the positives.
Okay. So it's partly true, but not entirely true.
Yes.
Good. That's good enough for now. I'm also going to add that you, like Mr. Kekana, are one of the disgruntled employees who is bitter against Advocate Mkhwebane for maybe her management style rather than the issues that are pertinent to this committee. What will you say to that?
I would not agree. I have nothing personal or otherwise against Advocate Mkhwebane.
No, I didn't say personal. I said that because of her management style and maybe some of the decisions she took that might have deprived you of claiming for travel and things like that.
I'll concede I'm very critical of her management style.
Good. That's good enough. And then I'm going to also add you at the end, and again, you'll save us time or some time or all the time, that the so-called reckless litigation that you talk about is nothing but a result of the fact that in 2016, there was the famous EFF Nkandla judgment, which then invariably caused more litigation against the Office of the Public Protector. What will you say to that?
I would concede that it did escalate the bringing of reviews against the office, but that right has always been there, even before that judgment. So it is not the sole cause of the litigation that was at the end of. But my evidence was that we did not generally defend all litigation against the office, especially on reviews, prior to her arrival, mainly because we're not a litigious institution. And so my argument when it comes to that was that this litigation that flowed from her approach was not taking the office, was not in the interest of the office in all cases. It was instead, it had the negative effect of portraying the office in a negative light.
Yes, no, that's fine. That might be the effect. We'll talk about that. I'm saying to you, and you're saying you'll partly agree. So I'm pushing you to agree more than that. I'm saying that a major cause of the rate of litigation was the new attitude of the people you were investigating, caused or rather encouraged by the EFF Nkandla judgment, which made remedial action binding. You can blame me partly for that, because I was an applicant in that case. Or rather, I was acting for an applicant.
As I said, I do not entirely agree.
But partly you agree?
Yes.
I'll put it higher.
Perhaps I can put it this way, that perhaps it became more noted after that judgment.
Yes, fair enough. I'm happy with that. But I'm putting it higher than that. I'm saying that judgment was a turning point in respect of litigation against the public protector. Do you agree?
Yes, I would.
Thank you. Okay.
Just lift up your mic a bit. Thank you. So that even those in Vesha can hear it.
Thank you, Chair.
Go ahead, have a bit more.
Okay, thank you. So, well, between you and I, it's a draw now. Because we had an hour that I took out. Now I put it back. But I think so far we're doing well. But the next thing I'm going to...
I see that you even... inspired by the color that I wear. Go ahead.
Our secret is out here. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Now, you. Okay. I'm also going to add you. It's not on my list, but it's just something I'm going to. To add that you have a fertile imagination and you are a creative person. I'm not saying that in a negative way.
If you're not saying it in a negative way, advocate, I will take this as a compliment.
Yes.
I do use my imagination.
Yes, no, I agree.
Definitely not in a negative way.
Okay. Do you read spy novels and things like that?
No, I don't.
You don't like mysteries and that kind of thriller?
No, I don't.
All right. I'll come to that. Then I will also say that, and this is maybe it's linked to something I said earlier about the cases. I can't remember your answer. When I said you have not actually read these decisions as much as it would look if one read your statement, what did you say to that? The court decisions.
My answer, you know, now that you're rephrasing that question, My answer is that I am familiar with the cases, but I don't have in-depth knowledge of them.
But if somebody reads your statement, you'll think that you have more than in-depth knowledge, because you quote this paragraph and that paragraph and that paragraph and link it to this paragraph, and then comes the conspiracy theory. Anybody reading your statement will be forgiven for thinking that you have read this judgment thoroughly and analyzed them. Would you agree?
No, I don't necessarily agree.
All right, I'll come back to that. Now, apart from not reading the judgment, have you read the independent panel's report?
No.
Do you know of such a thing?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And The most extraordinary thing about your evidence is exactly that. The fact that you traverse all these judgments, CX judgment, the Freire judgment, the CR17 judgment, the financial services
board, and
conduct. Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. We go into detail with all, in respect of all those judgments, and you have to say you haven't read them in detail.
Sir, I did read these judgments in the past, and as I said in my affidavit, what concerned me was the negative publicity and the way these judgments, you know, the comments made by the judges panned out in the public, you know, they had the effect of making the public lose faith and trust in our office. That is what I quoted in those affidavits. That's what concerned me. I agree. I am not fully conversant with each and every case to the detail that you're referring to.
Yes, well, I know that, and I'm going to demonstrate it. But I'm saying the impression you wanted to leave the community with, so that they may find African Bukovana guilty of the charges that she's been charged
recording
of,
which in are progress.
Mainly based on those judgments. You do know that the charges are mainly based on judgments.
Largely, yes. So
yes, mostly. Actually, yes. Okay, that's fine. I'm saying this, Mr. Summer. If you had not come here, let's just say you had just admitted your 70-page affidavit, and the evidence leaders had decided not to call you as a witness, and neither do we call you as a witness. The impression left with the committee would be, here we have somebody, an admitted attorney at that, who is analyzing this judgment in great detail, and therefore, especially being a lawyer, we can take his evidence as more than just speculation, because here he's quoting chapter and verse from this judgment. And yet the reality is that you are not familiar with those judgments, and I will show you why I say that. Would you agree with that?
No, I would not.
Good.
I cannot speak for the committee.
Yeah.
I don't know how they receive this information.
Hmm.
It is not for me to persuade them. All I'm doing is to testify to the best of my ability and account.
No, no. It is for you. That's exactly what you're trying to do, is to persuade them. You, both your statements are intended for the impeachment process, no?
No.
So when you were saying in your first statement that you are prepared to make another statement for whatever processes might follow, and I'm paraphrasing, because that's the one that I'm going to finish at the time. What were you talking about?
My initial affidavit, it was accompanied by a covering letter. I specifically said, and also in the affidavit, my request to the speaker was to launch an investigation into the conduct of the public protector in how she's running the institution. It was not in any way intended for, certainly for this committee. That was, I didn't have that in mind at the time. I didn't even know that it was going to come. All I wanted, what I had in mind was that the speaker would at least launch an investigation in whatever way. And when I got the response that it had been referred to the portfolio committee, I thought that that committee would launch the investigation. I did not prepare them for the impeachment.
For impeachment. Oh, yes. I see. Well,
and yes, when I said at the end of my affidavit that I am prepared to supplement it in some way, perhaps not in so many ways, but I was saying if more evidence is required of me, because at that time I still had my laptop and my other brain. I'm willing to come forward with it and to testify, you know, through the investigating team that I had envisaged might be sent.
I see. So when you say in the statement that you gave to this committee, when you say that was this statement you gave here is the one that was foreshadowed in your initial affidavit, that is not true.
Could you repeat the question?
You said you're making this one, which I have here with me. Okay, let me read it out to you.
Yes, please.
Paragraph 11 of your statement at 2072.
Are we able to have it flighted? Just to remind everybody. Go ahead, Advocate, in the meantime.
Oh, yes. You say, as it appears that some of the grounds of alleged misconduct and incompetence against the PP, those are the grounds of impeachment. Do you agree?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Appear to flow from my initial affidavit. The initial affidavit is the one of February 2020, okay?
Correct.
The one you tell us had nothing to do with impeachment, but her impeachment process flows from it. Does that make sense to you?
To the extent that it was sent, you know, it was included here and for me to come and testify, yes.
No, Mr. Summer, please. I'm asking you a simple question. When you say that the grounds of alleged misconduct and incompetence, which are the grounds of impeachment, flow from your initial affidavit, a person reading that must understand that the impeachment charges flow from your affidavit.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Thank you.
I'm agreeing to that.
Against what you just told us 2 minutes ago, that the two had nothing to do with each other.
What I said was that affidavit was not meant for an impeachment hearing. It was meant for an investigation.
Okay. That's fine. I'll take that for now. But at the very least, we agree that the impeachment charges flow from the affidavit.
Well, my affidavit does make allegations of impeachable conduct. Yes, that is the same as saying yes, I agree. But as I say, I qualify
no,
that at the time that was not my intention.
Okay, no,
I agree.
All right. Yeah. They are a lawyer, so if you want to say yes, you agree, just say so. Don't say something that is the same as saying yes. Yeah. Okay. And then you say, because it flowed from the affidavit, you deemed it necessary, especially in the light of the committee's rules. So you've even read the rules, the Section 194-1A rules.
They were explained to me.
By who?
By the evidence leaders.
Did you read them?
No.
So you put something in your statement, or was it put by the evidence leaders, about rules that you have never read?
Yes, I've not read the rules, but I had no reason to doubt what
they were telling you. Yeah. And yet you saw to God that this statement was the truth.
Yes, I did. But I did say in the affidavit as well that some of the information is not within my personal knowledge. And I've amplified it based on what could be recovered.
No.
I considered that some of it might be hearsay, yes.
Yes, you said it's hearsay, but you gave the impression it was hearsay from your co-workers, not hearsay from the evidence leader. You never told us in the statement that you had part of the hearsay was from the evidence leaders. Did you?
I did not. It's the first time you're asking me about that.
All right. Honestly, you deemed it necessary, especially in light of the committee's rules, to amplify the contents thereof. In other words, to add to your statement, initial statement, which flowing from the rules is the basis for the impeachment charges, correct?
Correct, yes.
Thank you. And then you say, hence, this supplementary affidavit, as foreshadowed in paragraph 6.2 of my initial affidavit, in order to further assist the committee to discharge its function. The function of this committee is to verify whether the public protector should be removed from office. That's the same function you're talking about, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. All right. Now, how did your initial statement end up with Ms. Mazzoni?
I have no idea. It's the first time I hear that it ended up with her. I sent it to the speaker, and as to what happened beyond that, I had no control. I don't know.
Yeah, well, because a very strange thing happened, and your comment, you've partly answered it. Is that Ms. Mazzoni put a motion for the impeachment of the public protector on the 6th of December 2019, 72 hours after the rules were passed by the National Assembly. Okay? And on the 28th, I think, of January. Chair, we will upload that letter. It was not relevant until now. We wrote a letter to the speaker, the then speaker, pleading with her that we should try and avoid this thing going to court and find a, we wrote on behalf of the public protector. And one of the issues that we raised there was the fact that the motion was in any event defective because it relied on court judgments, as you and I have agreed, all of which had preceded the 3rd of December, which was the date of the passing of the rules. And as a lawyer, I understand, I'm sure you can see the problem already. So we lawyers, we like using big words. We call it retrospectivity, okay? So we made the retrospectivity argument to say, you can't pass rules on the 3rd of December and then charge someone for judgments that were in 2017 and so on before those rules came. Understand?
I do.
Right. That letter then caused something quite strange because your affidavit came on the 11th of February, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And then on the 21st of February, Ms. Mazzoni withdrew her motion. Right? And put a new one with the same charges, the same judgment, but this time it included your affidavit. In other words, the retrospectivity problem was now cured because there was at least one charge which was of something that came after the passing of the rules. You understand?
I do.
Yeah. So that's why I'm asking you this question, because it looks like it was just a whole contrivance to cure that problem. But I take your word that if it was, it was, but you were not part of it. You did not go to Ms. Mazzoni and say, here's a way out of this problem.
No, I did not.
Okay.
All I can say is that at that time, that affidavit and the letter were already in the public domain. Somehow I feel that questions in the press.
Okay. No, fair enough.
Even in that one, I don't know how it got to them.
No, that's fair enough, yeah. So maybe she just seized the opportunity. Okay. And of course, the speaker, needless to say, against our objections, accepted this new motion, and it was never explained why. In fact, that was the only reason, as far as we were concerned, that it was changed, and we said so under oath in the subsequent litigation. Okay. Now, I'm saying the one of the most peculiar things about your evidence, which I found quite perplexing, is that, and that's why I told the chair in no uncertain terms that I'm unlikely to finish with you today, because you turned out to be probably the most important witness, in the sense that you cover all the key judgments from which, to borrow your phrase, the impeachment charges flow. Understand what I'm saying? I can explain it if you don't.
I understand, but it was not my phrase. You put it to me.
The flow? No, it was yours. So in paragraph 11. The alleged misconduct and or incompetence against the PP appear to flow from my initial affidavit. When did I suggest that to you? Is it me or the evidence leaders? Are you mistaking me for evidence?
No, it is my affidavit. I'll own up to it. Yes, okay. They appear to flow.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Please don't accuse me of
not, my apologies.
I'm not advocating Kwebane. All right. So I was saying, Mr. Summer, that the most remarkable thing about your evidence is that you cover the key, let me put it this way, the key court judgments on which Ms. Mazzoni relies for her motion, which has unfortunately been kept intact despite the fact that the independent panel tried to cleanse it. Is that the some of the core judgments are the Freire judgment, the CX judgment, and the CR-17 Busasa judgment. And all the other charges are there, but the core of the business why we're here are those the findings made in those three judgments. Would you agree? Well, since you discussed... Yes. Oh, sorry. And FCSA, yes. The PP just reminded me. And all four of those judgments are discussed in your affidavit.
Yes.
Agreed?
Yes,
yes,
sir.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying no other witness, at least so far, is capable of almost, like if your evidence was believed, we could even just stop and impeach tomorrow. That's how important you are, because you cover the core of the charges. Understand?
I do.
Thank you. All right. Now, and I call that remarkable for a particular reason, because the irony of ironies is that
your evidence from which Ms. Mazzoni found sufficient grounds to include in her revised motion actually does not refer to judgments at all. Do you agree?
I do.
But somehow between you and the evidence leaders, the whole thing has transformed into this 75-page document which discusses those four court judgments. Correct?
That's correct.
In fact, the independent panel made up of a retired judge and two senior counsel singled out your evidence as the only evidence which is not reliant on judgments at all.
I did not read the report, but I will take what you're saying. If that is
okay. Can somebody put it up? Paragraph 103 of the independent panel report. I rely on my learned friends to assist me to identify it.
Right, in the meantime,
okay, I'll just read this out.
Quite a short
to save time. Yeah, it's quite short. Yeah.
In all but one instance.
Yes.
Just go through that.
I'll just read this. It will be put up for the members later. Thank you, Chair. Just to save time, yeah. It says, the panel says, in all but one instance,
Judge
4, the allegations of Mr. Spello Samuel, the member, meaning Ms. Mazzoni, contends that the evidence of the charges can be found in judgments or court papers. And they say, insofar as reliance is placed on judgments of court, we record that we are alive to the fact that the court dealt with the conduct of the PP in a different context, and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. I've read that part already to the committee before. But the point I'm simply making to you now is that if you wanted any further proof that your evidence cured, quote unquote, the defect, the retrospectivity defect in the original motion, then here it is. Because, as I say, what we had pointed out in our letter was that all these judgments predated the adoption of the rules. And hence, your evidence was put in. But the point I'm making now is simply that it was singled out even by the judge, the retired judge and the two senior counsel, as being the only piece of evidence which was not based on judgments. And yet, now, that was in 2021, okay? Now, here we're sitting in 2022. Your evidence is the one that covers the judgments more than any other witness. Big transformation, would you agree?
Yes, I would agree, but I need to qualify that.
Of course.
Thank you. The date of my affidavit is the 11th of February. And subsequent to that, the first time I referred to judgments and the scathing nature of the comments made by the judges was in my letter to the PP in March, where I asked her to resign.
Uh-huh.
And so in preparing my affidavit, that was taken into account, that I'm making reference to cases, especially comments made by judges, and so that is why this comes into my affidavit.
Yes. Well, that may well be so, Mr. Samuel. I'm not quibbling with that. I'm simply saying, to the naked eye, Yes, Mr. Samuel, the only person who doesn't rely on judgments for her, for his impeachment efforts from which the charges flow. I'm simply saying a year later, Mr. Samuel is relying on judgments more than any other witness to, who is going to assist this stand under correction. Maybe there's going to be another one who comes with having read all the judgments or even more. But for now, you are the only witness who is the authority on this judgment. I'm just saying, surely you would agree with me that that's quite a big revolutionary change.
I will agree with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Just a pause, Advocate Mbofu, Advocate Bauer.
If I could just ask Mr. Mbofu to please reflect what's in the affidavit as closely as possible to the affidavit, because the judgments is not a, he's not represented as being an authority on the judgments. It was simply put in as a section and where he says it informed his decision. There is no reliance on the judgments in the affidavit other than in respect of his explanation and reconciliation.
Okay, I don't think I need to react to that. We'll deal with it when we do a legal argument. I'll take you through your affidavit. Do you agree with what the evidence leader just said? There's no reliance on the judgments in your affidavit?
Yes.
No reliance?
No reliance except for the comments that were made by the judges.
But is there no reliance? That's what she said. Don't say except for, because if you say except, you might undo.
No, Mr. Mbofu.
Go ahead. Just pause, Advocate Mbofu. Go ahead, Advocate Bauer.
Through you, Chair, I qualified it by saying that the reliance on the judgments to which Mr. Mbofu is relating, when I said no reliance on the judgment, it was in the context of the section of reckless litigation. The proposition which Mr. Mbofu put to the witness was that he is an authority on the judgments based on his affidavit, and that's what that isn't what he said in the affidavit.
Okay, that's fine. This is all come clear in time. That's fine. I know what's happening. All right. Well, let's not be distracted, Mr. Summer. I'm not putting it any higher than this, barely, and I don't think we should waste time on this. I'm simply saying the independent panel found it remarkable, and remarkable, well, literally, they made a remark about the fact that your evidence was the only evidence which did not hinge on judgment. That's common cause now. I've just read it out to you. Agreed?
I agree.
Now, I'm saying from that state of affairs to this state of affairs where, as I've described to you, you are the person, the only witness so far, who has relied partly or whatever, but have placed some reliance, maybe let me lower it to that, on the four core judgments before this court. Would you agree?
I'm not sure whether I'm the only witness who has done that.
Well, take it from me. You are. I'm saying, okay, assume if you are, then would you agree then that that's major transformation, if I'm not making that up?
I think I've answered that question.
You think you've answered it?
Yes, I have answered that question. It's not the first time you're asking me that.
What was the answer?
It was that I'm not standing here, I'm not sitting here pretending to be an expert in this. Yes, I am relying on the comments made by the judge.
Good.
Yes.
You are relying on them. That's all I want to establish. Thank you. The other remarkable letter
will be found in the fact that, having looked at your, and again, this committee has a different view, but that's a matter that must be resolved some other time. But you accept, or at least, and I'm not claiming you're an expert in this, but you have a basic understanding of how the process works, that there's this Mazonis motion. It goes to an independent panel chaired by a retired judge, two senior counsel, quite a serious and expensive exercise. But we're told it was, I don't know what was the purpose thereof. But anyway, they thought at least the purpose was to filter the motion and distill it for prima facie evidence. I understand that. It's like what happens in a court case. So, pass Section 174, if you pass, it's called a discharge. If you don't pass Section 174, then you go into the real case. But if you win at Section 174, you go home. Did you practice criminal law?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did.
That's why I'm making that example.
Yes, I understand. But Mr. Mpofu, I am begging to follow why I'm required to comment on the process that was undertaken by the independent panel using partly my affidavit when I was not party to that. Mm-hmm. I did not refer to that to the panel. It was referred by someone other than me.
No, Mr. Summers. No.
And as I've testified that my intention with lodging that affidavit to the speaker was to ask for an investigation, not to impeach the public protector.
Yes, but your intention now is for her to be impeached.
That is not my intention. My intention is to assist the committee with the allegations that I made. As to the conclusion that is drawn, it is up to the committee, not to me.
Okay, now you're splitting hairs, Mr. Summer. Your intention is to assist the committee, and the function of the committee is to verify whether or not the public protector should be impeached.
Yes, that is their decision, not mine.
Of course, no. Believe me, that much I know. But I'm saying this philanthropic voyage is to assist the committee, not all the committees here in this building, but the committee that is designed to decide whether or not she should be removed.
That is correct.
Hmm. And you say you don't know why I'm asking you about the process.
I'm referring to the process that I did not initiate, but my affidavit was used in that process. That is all I can talk about, my affidavit, but not why it landed to the panel.
Yes, but you gave the impression in the affidavit, excuse me, that you're familiar with the rules and the functions of this committee.
To the extent that they were explained to me.
Yes.
Relevant parts, yes. I'm not familiar. I don't know the rules, all of them. I cannot tell you that rule one or rule four.
No, thank you. No, that you've said, in fairness. I'm saying that, but you've referred in your affidavit to the functions of this committee, and you would agree that they are as I've just described them.
I will accept what you're telling me.
No.
I didn't think that means.
No. Don't accept anything from me yet. I'm accepting yours. You said at the end of paragraph 11, hence the supplemental affidavit, as foreshadowed in paragraphs 20 of the initial affidavit, in order to further assist the committee to discharge its function. You said that.
So, surely then you know what the function of the committee is.
Yes, I do.
What is the function of the committee?
It's to determine whether or not the public protector has been impeached, or must be impeached. Yeah.
All right. All right, let's not be distracted. You were saying, or rather, I was saying to you that the role of the independent panel, among other things, is to determine whether, because a motion can come from, you know, a member might do a motion against me because they don't like me or whatever. And that's why we have to bring independent lawyers and they've been a judge to cleanse the motion so that whatever remains there is what should be, in other words, if it doesn't pass that stage, that's the end of it. That's why I was making the example of Section 174 to you, but I don't want to confuse you. The only point I was making is the independent panel for its trouble decided that the only thing from your evidence which was worth inquiring into, or I should say the only things, that there were only two things. And those things you have actually not testified about. That's another remarkable thing. One was that the investigation into investigating the project with specific focus on the role of politicians in the scheme was swept under the carpet. That's, you said something to that effect. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yes. So that's one allegation which you made. Okay. You know that that allegation is false because that reinvestigation was actually done.
I'm aware that the reinvestigation
was done. Okay. So that way.
Just pause, Advocate Mbofu. Advocate Mayosi.
Sorry to interrupt you, Advocate Mbofu. Can you just refer us to the paragraphs of the independent panel reports you're referring to?
No, not yet. I'm still cross-examining. I'll come to that. I will refer you when it's appropriate. If I will agree, Mr. Summer, that was the first issue, the reinvestigation. That was swept under the carpet. Those were your words.
Just switch on your mic.
And yes, at the time that I made that affidavit, I believed that the investigation was being swept under the carpet.
Yes, Mr. Samuel, don't get me wrong. I'm not attacking you at all. I'm simply saying that I'm not attacking your bona fides at the time. That would be unfair to use the status quo now to attack what you thought in 2020.
Yes.
No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm saying that you accept now that that allegation that reinvestigation was swept under the carpet turned out to be false. Not that you were lying, but it turned out to be false.
No, I don't accept that.
Okay. Do you accept that factually the reinvestigation was done?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you accept that it was not swept under the carpet, any carpet?
My belief is that there was pressure for it to be conducted and completed.
Yes.
Amongst other sources, it was the portfolio committee that impressed on the public protector to reinvestigate.
Yes.
And that's why it was done.
Yeah. No, you might be right. But please, let's get the timelines correctly, okay? I'll remind you, so you did say that sometimes your memory is not good. Yes, you're right that the portfolio committee impressed, let's put it that way, impressed upon the public protector to reinvestigate. And the public protector actually issued a statement to say she was going to investigate specifically this whole hullabaloo about politicians. Okay?
Correct.
And the officials involved. So remember, those were the big things that she did not investigate politicians and also did not deal with the beneficiaries.
Yes.
Yes. So you're quite right, I'm agreeing with you, that that complaint, which was the complaint that was bandied about mainly by the DA, even in the portfolio committee, was raised. But the point I want to just help you with is that it was raised in 2018, just so that you get your timelines correctly. Okay? I'm just telling you as a fact. Okay.
Okay.
If I'm making it up again, I'll be cut out. And then the investigation was conducted, the reinvestigation. Okay? The public protector actually issued a statement to refute all these false allegations, given the history that this investigation was actually started in 2014 by Advocate Madonsela. By the time she came at the end of 2016, it had been ongoing and so on. And explaining that provisional reports are not reports for public consumption, as you know, at that stage before the Section 7.9 format was changed. Agreed?
Yes, I agree.
Yes. Now, if you accept what I'm saying as a fact, that so-called pressure that you are saying, let's for argument's sake, let's say that is so, came in 2018. Would you then agree with me that the reinvestigation, or rather, your statement that the reinvestigation was being swept under the statement 2 years after Advocate Mkhwebane had publicly said she was going to do it was false, objectively false. Not, as I say, I'm not accusing you. You might not have known all this, but now that I'm telling you now, would you agree that it was untrue?
No, I don't.
Even so, your evidence therefore is that the reinvestigation that she was busy carrying out or had carried out was actually swept under the carpet.
I believe at the time, and as if I follow your timelines, we're talking 2 years, or maybe just about 2 years after she made an undertaking to reinvestigate. And it was not, she kept making statements that the investigation is ongoing. And as far as I'm concerned, there was no need for it to take that long, because it was straightforward to look at the role of politicians. Yes, I had the belief then that it was being swept under the carpet, because it was there being investigated, but it was not being finalized.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. So, okay. Did you know that she was doing the investigation?
Yes, I did.
And when you made the statement that the investigation was being sought under the carpet, you actually knew that she was in the process of doing it. Is that your evidence?
Yes. Sorry. Yes, I knew that the investigation was ongoing, but it was being swept under the carpet because it's not being finalized.
Ah. All right. So, So if how long should it take? When you did the FLEDA investigation, how long did it take you?
My involvement started in 2015 when I relocated to the Free State, and that investigation was already ongoing. So my role, for me, it took just about 2 years.
Yes. 2 years?
Yes.
And when this African Cohen was taking about 18 months or so, she was sweeping it under the carpet.
Chair, you will recall that my evidence yesterday was that we made findings in my investigation, and we made findings about the politicians. And to that extent, I don't understand why it would then take that long for her. And, you know, the evidence was that those findings against the politicians were removed from our report. Meaning they were there, and they were not supposed to have been removed in the first place. So why would it take 2 years then to reinvestigate that part?
Is there something biting you there? You seem to be edgy, and that's it.
Yes, I'm allergic to this kind of information. No, that's fine.
You mean to go ahead.
Thank you. Let me get this right. So when did the FLEDA investigation start?
My recollection is that it started, the complaint was lodged in 2013.
2013, 14, 15, 16. So when Advocate Madonsela finished, it was 4 years in line.
When you say Advocate Madonsela finished, what is
finished being a public protector, oh. Mr. Samar, when she finished her term?
I would say 3 years, not 4 years.
Three. That's fine. Let's leave it three. Okay. And she was not sweeping it under the carpet?
No, she was not.
So 3 years is not sweeping under the carpet, but 18 months is. Or less, actually. That's why, sorry, Chair. That's why I was looking for my phones to actually get the actual period. That's what was biting me.
My evidence, Chair, was that Advocate Madonsela kept sending it back because she was not happy with the fact that the role of politicians was explored. So and that's why she escalated it to me to supervise and investigate.
Yes.
So by her conduct, her constant monitoring, I don't believe, because I was still involved then.
That's fine. So I see. So effectively, what you are saying is that this issue of attending to the politicians should take how long for it not to qualify as being swept under the carpet?
I cannot say it should take 2 months or 3 months or whatever, or a year, particularly because when she was reinvestigating, she was reinvestigating as a public protector. She had all the powers that I did not have, but I had asked her to assist with in issuing subpoenas against the politician. So it could have been done quicker. Because she was now investigating with all the resources that I did not have. So my answer is that it should have taken, it shouldn't have taken as long as it did.
How long?
Up to the time that I felt that it was being swept under the carpet.
Yes. When did you start feeling that?
Around the time that I deposed to that affidavit.
February 2020.
Yes.
Yeah. Just
Sorry, Chair.
In the meantime, up there, somebody is doing a lot of movements. You are disturbing us.
Yeah.
We want to focus here.
Anyway, we'll come to that after tea, just to save time, Mr. Samuel. So you are unable to tell us, give or take, how long it should take just to attend to the issue of politicians?
Yes. Sorry, Chair. Yes, I'm unable to tell you how long it should take. I am unable to tell you how long it should take.
Okay, but you surely are able to tell us how long it took you to read it as being swept under the carpet.
Yes.
How long?
It was almost 2 years since she had started reinvestigating the role of politicians.
Okay. It was less than 2 years. It was about a year and a bit.
Yes, I'm only working on the years. I mean, 2018 to 2022.
Oh,
so I'm not...
December 2018 to January 2020, you call that 2 years?
No, it's not 2 years. But as I say, I'm explaining that. I mean, earlier on when you also, you know, made a similar argument, you even, you know, mentioned the years one by one, 2013, 14, 15. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we were to go back to the months advocating for, I would say the same thing to you, that, you know, it's not 3 years or 5 years.
I'm
explaining, yes.
That's why I agreed with you, because on my wrong calculation, I said...
Okay, you just have to wait for each other, because we can't hear you now.
All right. I'm saying that, Mr. Summer, that's exactly why I considered the point to you, because I was saying 4 years using that method, and you corrected me and said 3 years, and I said, fine, let's make it 3 years. So let's use the same methodology. Let's not shift according to when it suits us.
Yeah, no, I'll also concede.
Thank you. All right. Now, I don't want to waste time on this. All I'm saying is you, I will argue at the end that you applied double standards. And let me just develop the point. You can agree or disagree. On your own version, Advocate Madonsela sat with the investigation for about 3 years. Okay? And at some stage, she was unhappy, particularly about the issue of politicians, correct?
Correct.
She escalated it to you, right?
Correct.
You took about 2 years and just to deal with that issue, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yes. And I'm saying Advocate Mkhwebane took less than both you and Advocate Madonsela, but you say she's sweeping the thing under the carpet. Isn't that a bit much?
As I said, she had resources that I did not have, which would have affected my timelines as well.
All right. So it was a question of resources. And Ms. Advocate Madonsela and Advocate Mkhwebane had the same amount of resources, correct?
Correct, yes.
And one of those resources was you, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right. Okay. We'll come back to that if we have time. I was just simply saying, Mr. Summer, that with all that debate that you and I have had, forget about the times and 3 years and what have you for now, but sitting there now, you know that the reinvestigation was actually carried out.
Yes, I do.
Yes. Therefore, this committee should not be under the impression that the reinvestigation was swept under the carpet.
The conclusion, yes.
Yes, thank you. Fine. Now, so that was the issue that the independent panel thought this committee should busy itself with. But you and I have now agreed that we can throw that one in the dustbin. The other issue that the independent panel felt that it should come here, not all these other things. Actually, the independent panel felt that all these other things should go down to the dustbin of history, but the committee has decided otherwise. So the only other issue that the independent panel wanted to be brought here, flowing, to use your word, from your statement, was the fact that former minister or former MEC Musebenzi Zwane attended the birthday party of Advocate Mukwebane. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
You remember that you raised that?
I did, yes.
You remember that you are the cause for that to be part of the business of this committee? Or at least I can tell you that for free. You are the cause of that issue being in front of this committee.
If it is in front of this committee, from me.
No, it should be. Well, Mr. Samuel, on that one, you'll forgive me. This committee has its way of...
Just allow him to conclude his...
Okay. Oh, I thought you had concluded. I'm sorry. No.
As I said, when I prepared my affidavit, my initial affidavit, it was not with the purpose of it serving in this committee. I did not even know about this committee then. All that it... And I want to believe it was not even formed at the time. All that I wanted was an investigation, and I made reference to her socializing with this particular politician, amongst others. And that information at that time was also in the public domain. I was certainly not in that party, but I got it from the media as well.
Also.
To the extent that it now forms part of this committee, I will take your word for it. I don't know. I'm not aware that it is, but if you say it is, then I'll accept it.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, you can take a word from me. I was at the party, by the way. So the point I'm only making to you is this. And again, I accept what you've just said now. But at least you must also accept that this committee, this August committee, doesn't sit here just to listen to things, at least shouldn't sit here just to listen to things just because they are in the public domain, because they come through a motion by a member. So again, I'll tell you how it got to be, how it was supposed to be in front of this committee, but the committee, it's not, you're right. But that's a story for another day. Is that Ms. Mazzoni took your statement, as I've indicated earlier, and put it as part of her new motion, okay?
Yes.
And therefore, the issue of the birthday party attendance became a charge, right, or part of a charge.
It's just a pause before you respond. I recognize Advocate Mayosi.
Advocate Mbofu, the issue of the attendance of the birthday party, can you just point us to where it is a charge in the motion?
Advocate Mayosi, if you just bear with me. As you sit here now, you don't seriously suggest that the Advocate Mukwebane must be impeached and removed from the office because Mr. Zwane attended her party.
It is not for me to determine whether, you know, she must be impeached, as I said. And if that conduct is objectionable and is impeachable, it is for the committee to decide.
Fine.
Not
no, fair enough. But as you sit now here, is it your testimony that one of the things that the committee should consider to make that decision, which I agree is their decision, or rather one of the things you regard as misconduct and incompetence, to use your words from your affidavit, is the fact that former Mrs. Zwane attended a birthday party?
The conduct that I find objectionable with that was and is even today the fact that you cannot socialize with a person that you're investigating. It's a sign of conflict of interest.
I see. So that was your only objection?
Yes. One of the issues I might add that reinforced my belief that the investigation was being swept under the carpet.
Yeah, now let's break that down into its constituent parts. So that answer then means that you knew when you were doing your affidavit that there was an ongoing investigation.
Yes, I knew.
And so you knew that that investigation had not been swept under the carpet, or at least had not been successfully swept under the covers.
Let me explain.
Yes, please do.
My belief. I believe you cannot sweep something that you're not busy with under the carpet. It can only be something that's supposed to be ongoing in the context of that investigation. So if the investigation is not finalized and there's this type of conduct by the person who's ostensibly doing an investigation, socializing with the subject of the investigation, and it's taking the time that it took. My belief was that it was being swept under the carpet because it is not being finalized. Yes, it was ongoing, but not being finalized.
I see. No, sorry. Forgive me. It's the Bantu education. So your allegation was that she was sweeping it under the carpet. It was not already swept. It was not already under the carpet.
It was an ongoing process, yes. You are sweeping.
Aha. Right. Then it's my fault and that of the independent panel and your computer. Because everywhere it says it was swept under the carpet. But that's fine, we'll come to that. I was just saying the following. Before we go back to the sitting, as we are sitting here, is it your evidence, or rather, is it your conviction that simply because of the attendance of Mrs. Zwane of the birthday party, that amounts to misconduct? I don't want to put it higher than that. Or one of your instances of misconduct or incompetence?
No. My evidence is that it amounts to a conflict of interest.
Okay. Fair enough. Which is not impeachable conduct.
That was not my allegation.
Yeah. No, I'm not asking about intentions. You don't think it's impeachable conduct? Yeah, no, fair enough. You said that before. You don't think it's misconduct? or incompetence?
It is, I would say it is, it results in incompetence to appreciate one's role and therefore might be misconduct.
Hmm. Okay. Which part, incompetence on whose part?
On the role of the public protector.
So the public protector is incompetent because somebody attended her party. That's the sum total of what this parliament must consider.
Somebody who she was investigating attended her party, and so it created the impression that she was protecting that individual. She might be protecting that individual.
How old are you, Mr. Summer?
57.
When is your birthday?
16th February.
So why are you looking for a birthday in our African book?
Well, we're talking about birthday.
Yeah, no, he's just told his age.
All right. So, if somebody attends your birthday party on the 16th of February, next year, or if I attend your birthday party, I just rock up there. You didn't invite me. What must you do? Run away. If you don't run away from your own birthday party, you'll be incompetent.
And I just suppose people
I just get clarity. Is it the public protector's version that Mr. Zwane was at the party and that he rocked up there uninvited? Is that what's being put to the witness?
Yes, it is what's being put to the witness. Okay. Yeah. And the first one is not just public protector's version. I was there as well. I saw him. So you can call me as a witness. All right. Okay. Now,
just a pause, Honorable Myla.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit lost here. And I'll tell you why. I'm not sure where in the charges it relates to then MEC Zwane attending the public protector's birthday party. I'm not finding that in the charges at all. So I'd just like some clarity. I'd like to be pointed to that. It follows what Advocate Mayosi was asking earlier, and we didn't get a clear answer on that.
Yes. No, it was. Thank you, Mr. Manon. No, it was contained in Ms. Mazzoni's revised motion. Maybe you can try and find it.
Can you point me to that in the charge sheet, please?
Okay. Yeah.
Let's do this because I was going to come back on Advocate Mayosi's before you came in, because you would have asked that question and you said you're going to just.
Yes, I was going to, and Ms. Mayosi was kindly.
What I want to avoid is those kind of. It was all what it takes is a reference. Where that is, so that we don't go into the afternoon with that not being responded to.
Yeah,
I'm not asking you to respond to it now.
No, I will, because I think
what I'm asking, if you can.
Sorry, sir. Sure.
Pause. Was she would have asked even a question before that, and you had a similar response about you going to respond to it.
Yes.
And time lapsed without that, because it is about dealing with that issue and then we don't plan it unnecessarily.
Okay.
For further. So, but Advocate Mpofu, for this time we will pause.
Can I just I'm begging you, just so that we don't, I'll just go to that reference.
Okay.
Because I think it's burning Mr. Malam and Ms. Mayosi was patient enough, so I don't want to stretch everybody's patience. If you go to paragraph 183 of the independent panel's report.
No, let's wait and hear what he's saying, please.
I mean, You know what?
Just switch on your mic.
Okay.
Please switch off your mic, Honorable Mylan. Continue, you were saying.
Thank you. I was saying, if you go to page 82, paragraph 183, I think everyone knows, even a two-year-old child, but the independent panel was working on the charges that came from Ms. Mazzoni. Okay. It says this, having had regard, have you got it?
Yeah. Yes. It's 183.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. Just for context, can you quickly...
Paragraph 183.
183, Judge. Sorry. Can you quickly just roll it back to 178? Just for context, Judge.
No problem. 178, this component of charges.
Yes.
Okay.
Just the heading.
The heading is Samuel.
Yes. Just want to say, this is where the independent panel is dealing with Mr. Samuel, Honorable Member Milham, the evidence that he has supplied. And then go back to 183. Then it says, having regard, again, to save time, can I start reading? Even though it's not up.
Yeah.
Having had regard to the allegations, in other words, to all your allegations, Mr. Summer, we find prima facie evidence of misconduct in only one respect. Okay, says the independent panel.
Then you can just enlarge it.
Enlarge it, yes, too small. I'll get on reading. Samuel, it says, Mr. Summer, you'll see it just now, mentions that after the query by the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services, through which the PP accounts to Parliament, the PP undertook to reinvestigate the project with specific focus on the role of politicians in the scheme and to interview the beneficiaries. We've agreed on that, you and I. Samuel then alleges that the investigation was swept under the carpet. So it was already under the carpet. Despite some of the findings in respect of Mrs. Mahashule and Zwane being made in staff reports submitted to her, the PP, we'll come to that. That's false as well. But that's not the thrust of what we're doing. Then here's the part, the birthday part, Honorable Member. The same Mr. Zwane is said to have supported the PP by attending her 50th birthday party that she hosted. Okay? Now, the only point I was making, well, not to Ms. Myers, because I think that's the part she wanted, but to the Honorable Member, is that all that came from the charges. But there's more, as they say in the advert. All that and more. Then you get the independent panel then summarizes. In fact, it thought it was assisting this committee, but it was making a mistake. It had something called Annex A, which is at 117. Go to paragraph 117. I'm sorry, not page 117. Of the report, yeah. Paragraph 262.
Yes. You want to continue?
Yes, okay. Yes, I'll paraphrase while they're busy with that. Okay, Annex A to the independent panel chairperson is the summary by the independent panel, which, as I say, was hoping to help this committee so that you know where did we find prima facie evidence. So if you go to yes. So that's
answer. As long as you know that whatever they were doing, it was not meant for the committee, it was meant for the National Assembly.
Yes.
Because the committee arises out of the National Assembly. So
correct.
Let's just correct reading of the
issues. 100%. It was the National Assembly, and this committee is the child of the National Assembly. So by extension, whatever the National Assembly was doing translated to this committee, but we'll leave that for argument, maybe not even here. Go to 263.8. I don't know why people look.
You said 263.
It's because my glasses are 263.8, Chairperson. 0.8.
Yes.
Let's go back. Yeah. So when they summarize for the National Assembly, their findings, this is what they say. So they say on this charge, and this will now assist the honorable member. Under charge 11.3, honorable Malham, they say, Samuel, that's you, right? So they say, these are the things that, whether it's prima facie evidence, which must come here, or to the National Assembly, sorry. Sweeping investigations under the carpet, okay? And that is, remember it says swept. So that means her action of having swept the investigation under the carpet. And then, so that's the big one. And we've all agreed, you and I have agreed that thing is not just under the carpet, it's now in the dustbin. So having the person she is investigating at her birthday party, so it's 11.3, there's your answer, Honorable Maya, charge 11.3. Okay.
Yes.
Chair, the only person who's brought this birthday party into this discussion is Advocate Impulse. The Chair, if you follow the evidence and the charge sheet makes no reference to the birthday party.
That's
the
fine.
Evidence leader never brought the birthday party in here. The only person who's brought the birthday party in is Advocate Impulse.
Yes.
If Advocate Impulse hadn't brought it in, we wouldn't even be considering the birthday party.
Okay.
But he's brought it in. And now he's trying to knock it down. It's like setting up a straw man.
All right. Yeah, he's brought it in and he's now elaborating where the origins of this are. And he points us to the independent panel report. So I don't know if we have to make a fight about that because he's referencing his own issue. Honorable Heron?
Yeah, Chair, I think the whole record that we have to consider includes the affidavit. And the affidavit makes reference to the birthday party. So I think Honorable Malham is incorrect.
That's fine. Thank you, Honorable Heron. Advocate Impofu,
I
want us to pause there.
Yes,
now,
I'm happy with that.
And I'll give you that 5 minutes. We'll break for tea now, and we'll be back at 12, Honorable Members.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chair, when you come back, you must call Honorable Mayhem to order. This thing of him interrupting is wrong.
Recording.
It's wrong, Chair. You must make a ruling on it, please.
there you are. Okay, so I can't even see you then. That's but thank you. You've rejoined. Okay. Honorable Dana? Hester Konagi, if you're craning. Honorable Dana? Honorable Mulder is here vandaag.
Honorable Chair, I'm here as well.
And can you me see me? As moet vir jou sien.
Unfortunately, my signal is so bad that the video gets stuck.
No, the live here, ons het al die tools hier om te sien wat gaan aan. Baie dankie. Thank you. Let's proceed. Thank you. Welcome back, honorable members. Let's resume our work.
Thank you.
Just switch on your mic, but ungai klandati yakuya.
Okay. So I think if you don't mind, I just need to raise, because you know, I don't want my plaque, as you know by now, my cross examination to be interrupted. Especially when there's no reason for that.
Yeah, it looks like they can't hear
us. So far, there's no interruption. All what was sought was clarity, which is important for the flow of the discussion. Yes.
Yes. No, I
would know when there's an interruption on your work.
No,
thank you.
No, Chairperson, I'm sorry. Okay, that's fine. Let that go. Because the issue is that when I'm cross-examining, there's a particular flow. Flow is a big word today. And yeah, so when I get asked things like, where is it in the charge sheet? When it's clear that it is in the charge sheet, then I get distracted, maybe not interrupted. So I'm just
sure. Just pause there. Advocate Bauer.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, before Advocate Bauer starts so that he's not interrupted, there's a difference between the charge sheet and the evidence which underscores the charge sheet. The question was put, there's a charge put in respect of the birthday party, and Advocate Mayosi wanted to know when the charge sheet was.
Please complete Advocate Bauer.
And I think it was a fair question to ask when the charge sheet is. If the clarification is it's in the affidavit, in the evidence underscoring the charges, that's something entirely different.
Just before you come in, Advocate Bofo. Honorable Mauter.
But you can hear us when you're in the house. We've been calling for your attention for some time, but you're not hearing us. It's me and the other one, I remember, on visual. So I was just saying, are you able to hear us or not? Because when we were checking who's online, you didn't call my name. And I tried to say to you, I'm also here, but you couldn't hear me.
No, I was not calling everybody online. I randomly choose. So just be on standby. At some point, I will call your name, but we can clearly hear you, Honorable Mautre.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I don't want to waste time. I think Advocate Bauer is responding to something that is not directed at her, and wrongly so. Firstly, Advocate Mayosi never mentioned the word charge. I don't know why she's responding to. Advocate Mayosi said, can I point out where in the document there's this reference about birthday parties? And I said, I'll come to that. And this, it turned out that it's in that page that I went to. Honorable member Milham is the one who asked about the charge. Where is it in the charge? And I said, I will clear, when I go to the annexure A, I will then identify which charge, and it was 11.3. It was not her. So I don't know what that's all about.
Okay, just a point before you proceed. Honorable Mulder.
Thank you, Chairperson. We don't want to follow the proceedings and make it difficult for African Porfa when he's cross-examining. I think the intervention was appropriate in the sense that I heard, and maybe I understood you wrongly, that you did put to the witness the fact that is it the situation that the public protector should be impeached because of the charge that someone attended her birthday party. And that created some uncertainty also on my part, I understand, but is that one of the charges being put to the public protector? And that's, I think, why it was asked. But we don't want to interfere with your cross-examination. I think it was just try to get clarity on that situation at that moment.
Yeah. Well, the answer, short answer is it is part of a charge. It's 11.3, and I've demonstrated before too. I thought this was really going to be behind us now. I've demonstrated which charge it is part of. And I've demonstrated that it is one of the things that passed the test of the independent panel. So how can this not be part of the charges?
Anyway, just last point.
Sorry, Chairperson, I don't want to be educated by Advocate Mpofu. With all due respect, we heard what was said before T. I'm saying why there was an interaction and why the committee did ask a question. I think it was within the frame of mind that they could do that. And I see Advocate Mpofu wants to proceed.
Yes, I do.
You're welcome to proceed, sir, with all due respect, but you'll have to respect the committee as well. Thank you.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to be...
No.
Harassed again. Yeah.
No. Okay. There's no harassment.
It is. Whenever the shoe seems to pinch,
what have I done now?
I'm only explaining where the charge comes from. What must I do now?
I'm going to ask you to please restrain yourself from that.
Yeah. But by the way, Chair, maybe the origin of this problem. What happened to the complaint that we raised about conflict of interest on the part of Honorable Member Milam and possibly other members of the DA who are part of the complainant?
You're now cross-examining the witness.
We will tell you
where that is. Okay. Members are aware what there's been a legal opinion in that regard. But I'm not going to get into that now. So that we don't interrupt your cross-examination.
Okay. Thank you. All right. All right. Sorry, Mr. Samuel. This happens here. I was saying that you and I agree that let me put it this way. You know, the reason I was asking you for your clan name is Dugo earlier on, because you are a black person like me, correct?
I accept that that's the reason why you're asking me.
Yes.
I really don't.
All right. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm saying you would accept that in our culture, at least you and I, you might not be responsible for who comes to your party.
Yes, I'll accept that.
And if someone comes to your party, and that's where we were earlier, I think when I was rudely interrupted, I was saying, if I come to your party, you're not going to run away from your party. That's obvious, correct?
Yes, I cannot run away from my own party.
Yes.
But you know, if we're to come back to this one, if there's a potential conflict with one of the attendees attending my party, whether by invitation or otherwise, that would create a problem.
For who?
For me. If I'm sitting, if in my party, in the Free State, in Bloemfontein, if someone comes and to my party and I know that I did not invite him, there's no way I would have invited them, but if they come uninvited and I know that I've got an issue with this person in terms of my work, like then out, make sure that they are removed or they're told somehow to leave.
Okay. So if you have slaughtered Mutakai,
Welcome.
If you have slaughtered there in Welcome, let's say you are in church, in your church there, you are investigating something, and then you slaughter, and then one of the people that you are investigating at church come and enjoy Virginia. You do what?
I will make sure that they are removed from Nkidwam.
Okay.
Yeah, they might take me, I'm a bambi, I don't have any,
but I don't want
to be in their company.
Yes, thanks. But you'll just allow them to do the necessary, the bare essentials, and then you'll kick them out.
It depends on at what stage I notice their presence.
Yeah. Anyway. We don't have time to go there. I think we'll leave it for. But the long and short of it is that is what Advocate Bauer was asking me. The public protector will give evidence that she never invited, or rather that Mr. Zwane came there as a partner to somebody who was invited. Would you accept that at least?
I would accept that because that is what I know she has previously responded.
Oh, yes.
The inquiries
after your
yes.
affidavit, yes.
Yes.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying now, post your affidavit, you accept that the... Let me start by saying I accept that if she had invited him, then your point would have been higher. So I accept that.
Yes.
But do you equally accept, now that you know that she didn't invite him, that it's not an issue, it's not at least the issue that you thought it was, that she might have invited him?
As I say, the issue of if she had invited him, yes, it would have been worse.
Mm-hmm.
But even accepting that she did not invite him, but his mere presence there would be objectionable.
To the extent that she must lose her job.
That is not for me to determine.
That's fine. We'll leave it to those who have decided. Anyway, the real point I was making to you, Mr. Samuel, is that according to the independent panel, having looked at your evidence, the only two issues that to them passed the prima facie test where the investigation having been swept under the carpet, which we've dealt with, and then this birthday story, which we've just dealt with now. They said, from what you had said, those are the only two things that this committee needed to deal with, or rather, where there was prima facie evidence that may not get into the controversial part, where they found that there was prima facie evidence for misconduct. You understand that?
Yes, I understand.
Yes. So all this other... that's why you're here. Two things bring you here. One, it's your decision to do an affidavit on the 11th February, which Ms. Mazone used as part of her motion. And I'm accepting for now that was not, it was a coincidence. She just took advantage of your affidavit. Okay. The second thing is that the independent panel did what I've just described on those two aspects. Okay.
My response to that, Chair, is that I cannot explain why only those two aspects, or charges were preferred on those two aspects. I did not participate in charging, in formulating the charges.
Oh,
and as I've said before, my the aim of my initial affidavit was completely different from what is happening here.
Okay. No, no, that's that much I accept. So I know it's your own, it's not your own making, but I'm just saying that if the right thing had been done, if the recommendations of the independent panel had been followed in the way that we were suggesting, then we would have been dealing with you on those two aspects. And I'm just saying I've now dealt with you on those two aspects. So I'm now just going to deal with all the surplusage. But as far as the independent panel, you and I are done. But let's deal with the other issues that you have raised. Right. Now, sorry. Now, one of the terrorists. Now, I know Mr. Mulder doesn't like that word, but I'm not saying it in a negative way. One of the narratives that you have that you want the committee to believe, and that's why I was asking you about spy novels. And tell me if I'm correct. I'm just going to summarize. It goes something like this. You were with Advocate Mkhwebane at some place. He proposed that she must meet with the premier, or that the premier wanted to meet with her. Right? She was against this idea outwardly. Said, I don't know him. I don't know why he wants to meet with me. I can't remember the exact words. Something like that. Correct?
That's correct.
Then she was on the phone.
Yes, thereafter she got a phone call, yes.
That was one of the questions I wanted to ask. Whether did she make the call or did she... So she received the call.
She received the call.
Right. Then, so she received the news to some corner of the room. Correct?
Correct.
And one of the things she says is, she's now changed her mind about that issue you were discussing. She's prepared to meet with the premier. Correct? So far.
Yes, but let me put it correctly.
Yes.
I think the word prepared might just distort it a bit.
Mm.
When she came back and said she had changed her mind, she said she will meet with the premier,
yes,
and that I must come together with the CEO so that she can introduce us to him.
100%.
So she had made that decision already.
Yes, yes. Okay. So, and this is after this phone call. And then fast forward, we'll come back to the phone call. Fast forward, you go to the meeting the following day or whenever. And then in the meeting, she goes and have a chat or meeting or discussion or meet and greet or whatever it is. But she's with the premier, you and who the other person?
The CEO at the time.
Yes, you and the CEO are in the waiting room.
Correct, yes.
Okay. So she comes back from the meeting, goes to the car.
Correct, yes. Went to the lift to get down to the car, yeah. To the parking seats.
When Premier comes back and greets the CEO.
Correct.
And he ignores you.
Yes, correct.
And then he goes to his office.
I believe he went to his office. I don't know where he was.
So that's the novel.
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's the juicy part. So according to your theory, the fact that the public protector changed her mind about a meeting with the premier must have had something to do with the phone call.
Yes.
Who was making this call?
I have no idea.
What was being discussed?
I don't know.
But we want this committee to believe that her decision to meet with the premier had something to do with the phone call.
That is my belief. I don't know whether the committee will formulate the same belief, but that was my suspicion at the time, and it still is.
Uh-huh. So it was a suspicion?
My belief. Place that with belief. It's not suspicion.
It was not your suspicion.
It is my belief. Well, it was my belief, and it still is. I said, please replace the word suspicion that I've spoken with. Yeah. I withdraw that. I'm saying it's not my belief.
You withdraw suspicion. Okay.
Yes.
Huh? Fine. Okay. So in your belief, which is even stronger, belief, conviction, like that. Okay. So in your belief and conviction, the change of mind must have had something to do with the phone call.
Yes.
That's just pure speculation. You didn't hear maybe her saying the word premier or something, you know, in the conversation that makes you think there's a connection. It's just pure speculation.
Yes. Yeah. Based on her behavior prior to that.
And after.
Yes.
I see. So if you are having this discussion about the premier, and this it was somebody else who was calling her, completely unaware of what you were discussing, and then she came back having thought about wherever you had left the discussion and had changed her mind, then the whole thing would collapse, correct? The spy novel would fall away, the plot. I'm just saying, just assume just for a minute, it was me calling her to ask for instructions about some unrelated case, yeah.
Yes, it would change the picture.
The whole picture?
Yes.
Right. Well, that's actually what her evidence is going to be, that she never got any phone call that made her to change her mind. And if she can't remember if she had a phone call, but if there was such a phone call, she is not going to dispute that. But it must have been some other unrelated matter. We'll have to accept that, unless if you have something else.
Again, I will take you back, Chair, to my evidence that in preparing my initial affidavit, I wanted an investigation to be initiated.
Huh.
And my mentioning that particular incident could have been investigated if an investigation had happened to establish if indeed she received the call and from whom. That is possible to you know, if you contact the networks. So if perhaps the phone call. I don't know whether I should gather from what you put to me that she denies receiving the call, or she denies, you know, changing her mind after the call. But for me, it can be established if she received a call at that particular time.
No, that will not be necessary. We don't need to go to the networks. I've just told you that she does not dispute receiving a call. She may have. How is she going to remember every phone call she gets in the past 5 years? I'm saying that she does not dispute receiving a call. She receives calls all the time. She won't even remember who called last week. That's no. Neither does she deny that she changed her mind for your comfort. Okay? Again, she might not remember the exact discussion between you and her, but that's irrelevant for the purposes of what I'm asking you. So let's say that those two things that you are raising, let's say she admits them. Let's say she admits receiving a call and she admits changing her mind. That's not where the spy novel stuff comes in. I'm saying your theory, conviction, belief, suspicion, call it whatever you will, will fall completely flat if her evidence that if she received such a call, it had nothing to do whatsoever with what you and her might have been discussing. Or rather that, let me put it more concretely, that her decision to have a meeting with the Premier of the Free State had nothing to do and was not influenced by any phone call. That will be her evidence.
I cannot dispute that. That will be her evidence. I'll accept that.
Thank you. Yes, no, I know you cannot dispute it. I'm just telling you the implications thereof is that the entire plot will then fall away.
Let me throw a spanner in that question.
Please do.
For me, it would be suspicious if perhaps that call came from the Premier himself.
Are we reinstating suspicion now? I thought we were.
No, I'm saying it would reinforce my belief that he called her and made sure that she changed, or at least made sure that she attends that meeting that he wanted.
That what?
That she attends that meeting that he wanted.
Oh, sorry.
If that call had come from the Premier, that is what I'm saying. If that call had come from the Premier, it would explain why she changed her mind.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. No, that's a new one. So, sorry, that's the chapter I missed in the spy novel. So the call, according to you, came from the Premier.
No, just
hold back. Now, Advocate Mbofu, he says, if that call,
yes,
he's making an assumption.
Yes, I heard
that. But he's not emphatically saying it came from the Premier.
I didn't say anything about emphatically.
But you're asking, wait, Advocate Mbofu, you're asking him now in a direct way as if he said that the call came from the, which he did not say.
Thank you,
Chairperson. Please, I don't want to interrupt you, but I think I needed to clarify that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I apologize. So one of the theories is that the phone call may have come from the Premier. Is that your evidence?
It is not my evidence. I don't know where the call came from, but I'm saying in the line of the theory that you're building up, that my theory would fall flat. I'm saying it would have been changed if the call, and I'm stressing if the call came from the Premier.
Oh, good. That makes it much easier. So then, and if it didn't come from the Premier, then your theory would fall flat.
Not necessarily.
Oh. What other scenario would your theory survive if it did not come from the Premier?
Yeah, I really feel that I'm being forced to make assumptions and theories beyond what I made at the time. And for me, sitting here now, it makes me, it feels like I'm being required to widen the net of who might have called her at the time. And as I said, if an investigation had ensued following from me making that mention in my study, it could have been established and we would not be discussing this now. It could have been established who called her. And yes, if for instance, it was her son or her daughter who called her, yes, I would accept that my whole theory is a false flag, as Advocate Bo was saying. I cannot then respond to all the possibilities.
Maybe before Advocate Bo comes in, just to indicate to you, this comment is not going to force you on anything. The evidence leaders are not going to force anything on you, including Advocate Mpofu. You have a right to answer the question at the best of your abilities and indicate in any other way. So there's nothing that is going to be forced here by anybody.
Thank you.
If we're just on the same page on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Advocate Mpofu.
Yeah, but you must answer the question. You must answer.
I'm sorry, just pause. Honorable Maute, firstly, you didn't raise any hand. You're barging in and directing your comments to the witness about him having to answer questions. That is completely out of order. I don't want you to repeat that. Please, go ahead, Advocate Mpofu.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. Honorable members, out of order. Chair. Thank you. I confirm what the Chair is saying, that no one will force you to do anything, Mr. Sandman. Are we together?
Yes, we are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the last of those will be me. I'm saying I'm not forcing you to do anything, Mr. Sandman. If you don't want to answer, you don't. I asked you a question. You took us to the phone call coming from the Premier. And then I said, and the Chair corrected me that, you only said if. Fair enough. Now, I'm saying you've already put the scenario where the phone call would have come from the Premier. Now, you've said, when I say to you, which I thought was obvious, if the phone call did not come from the Premier, then your theory would fall flat. Your answer was not necessarily. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Now, not necessarily means that the answer is not. In between, where what I'm putting to you may be wrong. All I'm asking you is, in what scenario, if the phone call did not come from the Premier, would your theory survive? That's all. Not forcing you to do anything or widen or narrow or whatever. That's the answer.
I do not want to go into theories. I've explained that my theory came from, and that is the only theory that I have, came from her conduct before the call and after.
Let's leave it there, Mr. Some others will be here all day. Then?
Well, unfortunately, we don't have all day. Go ahead.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm moving on. The rest of the novel. Then let's leave the phone call for now. Is that at the meeting now?
right? You say that at some later stage, she said to you that she had, actually it's an email. She said, I've made a promise to deliver this report, people. Please, let's work on it, and so on. I'm paraphrasing, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And your theory is that, or rather, what you'd like the committee to believe is that that must have been that 15 minutes that she was with the Premier.
That is not what I want. It's not for me to dictate to the committee to be, what to believe and what not. I was just stating the fact that she sent that email and said that she had made undertakings. I did not say that she said she made an undertaking to the Premier or to any particular person. But she said she made undertakings, yes. And correctly you're referring to an email. Yes.
Oh, I see. It must be my mistake. So there's no connection between the undertaking and the meeting with the Premier?
I did not make that connection.
Indeed, Mr. Sommer. Yesterday, and we'll play the recording if we have to, you made that exact connection. You said that you assumed that they, don't hold me to the exact words, but you gave the impression that you assumed that this undertaking was made during her meeting with the Premier. Do you remember that yesterday?
I don't remember, but if I said so, what I meant was that it could have been made there or subsequent to that.
Right.
I was not in the meeting with the Premier, so I don't know where she made it, and whether she had any contact with him or anyone else interested in that report, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, I get you. Yeah, but it could have been made at that meeting. That's as far as you can take it.
It could have been, yes.
That was your theory.
It is a possibility.
No, what does that mean now? Was that one of the possibilities of what would have happened? The connection between the undertaking and the meeting with the Premier. You're making it, I accept what you say, that you're saying they might have maybe spoken many times after that. But one of your narratives was that this was made at that meeting.
My narrative is that it is possible that it was made there.
At that
meeting. She's then free to dispute that and put her own version. As I say, I was not in that meeting, so I cannot put it as a fact.
Yeah. No. Okay, let's get rid of that very quickly. She's going to dispute that. So take that as a fact. That's not the issue I'm exploring with you. I'm saying just in this short novel we have written, we've already found one theory that destroys the whole plot. So if she is correct that the undertaking not only had nothing to do with the meeting with the Premier, but had nothing to do with the Premier at all, then another pillar of the novel falls away, correct?
I cannot comment on that. I cannot comment on that because I did not make a novel about it. You are building that novel, not
okay.
Me.
No, I'm sorry. Let's withdraw a novel. Your evidence. Let's call it evidence. So your evidence on that aspect will fall flat if it can be established that there is that there's this connection you are seeking to make is fanciful, imaginary, and non-existent.
My evidence of the possibility would fall flat, yes.
Yes. That's fine. That's good enough.
But,
so what do we have left? So it turns out that then if you cannot sustain the issue about the phone call and the issue about the undertaking, then that summary I was giving you must just be ignored.
I cannot dictate really, to the committee.
No, but can you dispute the statement?
It is up to the committee to make out.
I know it's up to the committee, but I'm telling you what I'm going to add. As a lawyer, you know what I'm saying. I'm saying that if those two pillars of that narrative, or you don't like the word novel, the evidence, fall away, then the whole thing must just be thrown away into the dustbin, correct?
I believe I've made my answer to that, and I cannot say anything more than what I've said.
You believe?
Yes.
All right. The public protector will give evidence, or actually not just the public protector. One of the witnesses we intend to call, Mr. Musi Maimane, will give evidence that the undertaking that you are referring to was made in the legislature of the Free State. Can you dispute that? By Advocate Nkoban.
I cannot dispute that if she made it there.
All right. But if, okay, well then maybe we'll call Mr. Maimane for other reasons for his question on the Busasa thing. So we don't have to call Mr. Maimane on that. You don't dispute that the undertaking was made in the legislature?
I was there when she addressed the legislature.
Even better.
But if I don't have a recollection of her making that undertaking there. But prior to that, she was in the holding room with the politicians. It's also possible that she might have made it there. I was not there. But where I was in the open session, I don't recall her making that undertaking.
Is it possible that she made it, but you have forgotten?
It's also possible, yes.
That's good enough. But just so that we don't waste Mr. Maimane's time, can you put up the letter that's Bundle H, page 78, letter from Mr. Musi Maimane. Anyway, while we're waiting for the letter, let me just fill you up. Maybe it will jog your memory. That Mr. Chenkerson was actually the DA person who was the complainant in the in the Fred matter.
I agree.
Was in the legislature on that day, and he was one of the people who was putting pressure on the public protector for the release of the report. You might not remember his exact words, it was a long time ago, but you remember that kind of discussion when she was at the legislature.
Yes, I remember that he was there, Mr. Yes. Chang Yifeng.
Okay. Oh, the letter.
But as I said, I do not recall.
No, I don't expect it. No, yeah, I was just saying. Yeah. So there's a letter from the Democratic Alliance Office of the Leader, Advocate Mkhwebane. Just move it down a bit. And it says, Dear Advocate Mkhwebane, release of the flooded dairy farm report. So just go to the third paragraph. Yeah. This report was due 6 months ago, and we have it on good authority, that might be you, that you have been sitting on it for months or sweeping it under the carpet. That's like another way. Sitting on it and sweeping it under the carpet is a metaphor, is the same metaphor for delaying it, correct? Mr. Summer, you've done English one at least, if you are a lawyer.
You're taking us through the letter.
Yeah, we're on the letter. The words are from that letter. Yeah.
Okay.
Sitting on it. I'm saying that sitting on it is the same as sweeping it under the carpet, correct?
No, I would not.
I mean, okay, no. When I say metaphor, I mean it's a figure of speech. They don't really mean she's sitting on it or sweeping. Room. Okay, fine.
I cannot comment on that. For me, it could mean anything. It could mean the report is ready, but you're delaying in releasing it.
Yes.
But okay. But I'm not going to comment on the
English grammar. Yes. Okay, yes. That's fine. So the next paragraph. So you confirmed to the Free State Legislature that the investigation was complete and that the report would be released in April. This promise was not kept. In July, you assured us it would be released within days. It is now almost November and will not be fobbed off any longer. So let's take it step by step. You admit that since you were there, does that refresh your memory that the undertaking, at least the first one, was made in the Free State Legislature?
I have no reason to doubt that it was made there. It's just that my recollection,
yeah.
I do not have it, but no, I have no reason to doubt that what
yes.
you said.
No, I can't fault you for that, Mr. Sema. It was a long time ago. All I'm saying for you is that now that I've given this evidence, you would agree with me that at least from the DA's point of view, the undertaking or promise was made at the legislature.
Yes, I do.
And it was not made in some secret meeting with the Premier.
That I cannot confirm because I was not there. But with this proof, you know, at least
yes.
On the face of it, I accept that it was made there and it might be the first time. In the absence of anything else that flowed in that meeting, I cannot dispute that.
Thank you. So you don't know what, I think the sum total is that you don't know, well, we already know you don't know what was discussed in the phone call. You don't know what was discussed in the meeting 15 minutes 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was, the meeting that, as you call it, between the Premier and the Public Protector, correct?
That is correct. That was my idea.
Thank you. And you have no reason to expect this committee to believe that they were discussing the Friday matter.
Could you repeat the question again, please?
I'm just completing that question. You've considered that you don't know what was being discussed. I'm simply saying you therefore have no reason to speculate that they were discussing the fair the better. It follows logically.
Yes, I don't.
Yeah. And such speculation could be dangerous to her and her career, correct? Mr. Samuel, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still with you. I'm just digesting the question. I cannot conclude that if she discussed it there, it would be dangerous to her career. I cannot make that determination. If she did, it would still be within her powers to discuss it there. It would not in and of itself mean that it is wrong for her to speak. We were busy with the investigation, so it would have made sense for her to raise it there.
I don't claim to understand what you're saying now.
What I'm saying is that we wanted to answer to whether her meeting with the Premier there and discussing the Friday report would be detrimental to her career. That is how I understood your question.
Oh, no, sorry, it's my fault. You forgive me. English is not my first language.
That is why I was digesting the question. For
I forgive you. All right. No. This is what I was saying, Mr. Samuel. That since we've established one, we don't know what was being discussed. Two, you cannot speculate that there was any discussion or mention or anything to do with Fred. I'm saying, in the light of that, anybody who wants this committee to believe that it must rely on their speculation that there was a discussion on Friday could be doing something detrimental to Advocate Mkhwebane's career, and they would be doing that wrongly because they would have no basis for that. Correct?
You're saying anybody. I cannot comment on anybody's speculation.
Okay.
I can comment on mine.
Perfect. Mr. Samuel, if you expected this committee to rely on speculation that there was any discussion whatsoever in that meeting about Friday, that could potentially be dangerous to the career of Advocate Mkhwebane if it was accepted by the committee.
Again, it is not my it is not my expectation that the committee should believe and reach that conclusion. I gave that evidence as it happened. As to how it is received and conclusions drawn from it is entirely out of my hands.
I see.
And that is not my purpose.
I see. So you gave it as it happened. What does that mean? It means Friday was discussed. Is that what happened?
No.
So what do you mean when
what,
you say
what I what happened? I mean is you know, but I've just said earlier, you know, when you prompted me that it is possible, you put it to me as a possibility. I said it is possible that it was discussed and there would be nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
And it's also possible that it might not have been discussed.
Good.
And for me, I'm not seeking to persuade the committee to draw any conclusions from that. It is up to the committee. I cannot dictate to the committee what it should think about that. I'm just giving the evidence as I'm being asked.
Mr. Samuel, I want us to work together. I'm saying to you, just assist me. Actually, not me. Assist the committee and the people of South Africa. I'm asking you a very simple question. If somebody say, in the light of the concessions you have made about the fact that this might not have been discussed, in the light of what I've told you, that one of the most serious reports that form the charges of Advocate Mazone, as she is sometimes called, is the Fair Day matter. If somebody then says to this committee, I can only speculate that the public protector and the premier likely discussed the Fair Day investigation, that person might be wrongfully putting the career of Advocate Mkhwebane on the line based on incorrect information. That's all, really. It's a simple statement. It's you, Mr. Samuel.
I said, Chairperson, I do not know what was discussed in that meeting. And the purpose of my affidavit, which mentioned that meeting taking place, was not for the purposes of any process that would lead to Advocate Mkhwebane being impeached and thereby putting her career in danger. That was not my purpose at the time.
Yeah, you're talking about, sorry to interrupt.
I'm done.
Be done, okay. Yeah. Are you talking about your earlier statement?
Yes.
No, I'm talking about the one you did with the evidence leaders, the 75-page number. In that statement, do you say that paragraph 139.4, page 21, 20, chair, 2120.
That's okay. Paragraph.
Let's start at 139.3, the one that says the statement. The CEO and I went to the premier waiting room, brother. Yes. Well, let's start at 139.2, just for completeness. This is the spy novel.
Complete.
Initially, the PP was unwilling to accede to the request. That's your request about meeting the premier, correct?
Yes.
I accepted her position and proceeded with the briefing. During the course thereof, the PP accepted a telephone call. So this telephone call came much later, after you had the discussion.
What discussion are you referring to? The briefing?
Yes, we were saying you proceeded with your briefing. Then during the course of the briefing, she accepted the telephone call. I'm just saying that means it came later.
Yeah, it came sometime during the briefing, not later, isn't it?
Oh, it came earlier.
I mean, if the briefing started, for instance, at 5, and she got the call at 10 past 5 or 5 past 5, That is later, yes. That is how it happened. Later, I cannot say what time is later.
Yes.
But it came after we had started the
after,
process.
Yeah. It could have been 6 o'clock.
Yes, I can't recall.
Could have been 7 o'clock.
But it was definitely in the late afternoon.
Could have been 7 o'clock.
No.
So half past 6.
It was earlier than that, yes. Between 5 and 6.
And 6, okay.
Yes.
So let's say an hour later. All right, that's fine. I'm happy with that. So she gets a call an hour later, and you link it to that discussion you had maybe an hour ago.
No, that is not what I said. What I'm saying is that briefing, my engagement with her in that briefing, took place between 5 and 6. It was not later than that. It was in the late afternoon or early evening.
Mm.
But the call did not come an hour later after we had the briefing.
Mm.
It did not.
How long did it
come? It came during that briefing.
Yes, that's what I was saying, Mr. Samba.
Yes.
So it could have been, okay, let's say 45 minutes.
No. No.
30 minutes.
Yes, could have been obviously 30 minutes in the discussion.
Yes,
in
thank you. Yeah, no, that's fine. So the point then that I'm making is you have a discussion with her, working on your timeline. 30 minutes later, she gets some phone call. And you don't even know whether she changed her mind before or after the phone call, correct?
Yes, correct. Asking whether it's correct that I don't know if she changed her mind.
Yes, I'm asking. It's a very important thing.
I'm,
you
I'm
want
saying,
this committee
I'm saying,
to
don't,
be,
yes,
you don't know. She might have changed her mind 10 minutes before the phone call.
That's what I'm agreeing to. I'm saying,
yes.
I don't know. But, you know, she gave that indication only after the call.
Let's forget about indication, Mr. Samuel. On your evidence, she could have changed her mind 10 minutes before that phone call.
It's possible, but she did not communicate it then.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Booth.
Yeah.
We will pause there
for lunch
and take a lunch break and be back at 2. Thank you, Mr. Samuel. We'll take a break. And those on virtual, we'll send you a virtual lunch. We're taking a break back at 2.
Session at your... Oh, a chairperson.
Hey,
recording stopped.